A little over a month ago, Duncanville High School in North Texas did a dress code enforcement sweep. Over 150 students were suspended over dress code violations 2 weeks before the end of the year, right before exams. The kids were understandably upset. Their reactions are now being called the Duncanville Dress Code Riots. Mitra Kaboli has more.
In 2003, Duncanville High School implemented a zero-tolerance dress code policy, meaning that all infractions are punishable. The result of this was 700 suspensions at the beginning of the 2003 school year. Duncanville High School's website clearly lays out what the dress code is and why. Some of the rules are:
tops are solid navy or solid white in color.
Tops,
including turtlenecks,
are collared,
have sleeves
tucked into bottoms.
Bottoms are worn at the natural waistline.
Sagging is not permitted.
Boys are expected to be clean shaven.
Beards and goatees are not permitted.
Mustaches are permitted.
Do not extend beyond or below the edge of the lips
and are neatly trimmed.
Someone should tell the Duncanville Independent School District that beards are very cool right now. I spent most of my formative years in North Texas, not far from Duncanville. So when I was watching the news reports of all the suspensions about a month ago, I got kind of nostalgic, but without the good feelings. My alma mater's dress code, not unlike many in America, is targeted towards specific groups of people, namely girls and Black and Latino kids.
When schools do things like outlaw baggy pants or wearing hoodies or something like that, a lot of students in poor minority areas see that as actually sort of an affront to their own personal style and the style within their community.
Edward Morris is a professor of sociology at the University of Kentucky. He did some fieldwork at an inner city school in, once again, Texas. Uniforms in public schools, like the ones used in Duncanville, are a way to mask poverty and weed out gang affiliation.
My name is Yamara Taveras. I am a junior. I go to TMA in New York. We had to wear black shoes, no sneakers or anything. Black pants have to be slack. Guys must wear their tie.
Yamara goes to Thurgood Marshall Academy in Harlem. We were talking in a park around the corner from her school. Duncanville High School and Thurgood Marshall are both public schools with very large populations of Black and Latino kids and high rates of poverty. The teachers and staff at these schools want the kids to look appropriate. But the subtext is not lost on the students.
We say, why us? Why do we have to wear uniform? And in some facts, we feel like it's because we're like Latinos and minorities that we're looked upon that we're not capable of learning what is appropriate for a job setting compared to like other kids.
And she's right. Public schools with large populations of minorities are more likely to implement a uniform. Confession time. Back in high school, this straight A student was also a pothead. So my junior year of high school, I got suspended and had to do a short stint at an alternative school. I had to wear khakis and white shirts, no jewelry, no bags, no books. Nothing came in, nothing came out. I was patted down every morning after I went through the metal detectors. It was like a prison. Sure, we had all gotten in trouble, but we weren't all criminals. I suppose I was. But that was the most unproductive period of my education. Things were supposed to be orderly so we could reform, but it was the opposite. I was way behind by the time I returned to my normal school. So when schools like Duncanville High School pull a mass suspension 2 weeks before exams, it could be considered poor timing.
Suspension from school has major negative consequences on achievement. Even just one suspension can lower achievement significantly. Because what happens is you fall behind academically after you get suspended because you're taken out of the learning environment. And then you tend to have worse behavior because you don't understand what's going on in school. So it creates the cycle.
Ed Morris found that Black and Latino kids were monitored way more closely than their white and Asian peers, which also means that Black and Latino kids received more discipline as a result.
Black students are suspended in our research, at 6 times the rate of white students, and Latino students are suspended at 3 times the rate of white students. Then this punishment leads to lower achievement. So we also think that this is something that is actually contributing to racial gaps in achievement.
Suspension and dropout rates are related. A study in California finds that just one suspension will double a student's chance of dropping out. And 68% of the male incarcerated population doesn't hold a high school diploma. Educators are trying to prepare students for their future. Dress for success.
I think there is a subtext to the dress for success idea. How you are dressing now is not appropriate. But these types of behaviors and these styles of dress actually really aren't related to educational success. And in fact, cultivating this top-down approach within the school can be counterproductive to critical thinking skills that really are most important for success in higher education.
As long as you're doing what you gotta do in school, which is your work, why would like a certain way how you dress, why should that affect you?
Ed Morris has some ideas on how to reform dress code policies so they aren't such a point of tension between students and staff.
I think that they need to get more student input on that process. And I think they'll find that the students will surprise them in terms of types of dress codes they want. If they feel like they're a part of it and it makes sense to them, then I think it can be a lot more effective.
One last thing. I spoke with the superintendent of the Duncanville Independent School District, Dr. Alfred Ray. He doesn't know if dress code is directly related to academic success, but he says the dress code is not a point of tension between the students and the staff. Duncanville has almost 4,000 students, so the 150-plus that were sent home was not that significant. He also said that the food fight was purely coincidental. For Latino USA, I'm Mitra Caboli.